The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 27, verses from 30 to 32. Allow me to read the words. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Those who were on board the Alexandrian ship were swept by the deadly hurricane, which was blown suddenly, and had to spend 14 days in the complete dark with no food or water. Realizing that there is no sign that the things get any better, they even lost all hope to be saved. They eventually gave up even the last hope to survive the storm of death. What they could do under such circumstance was only waiting for the death to come. Among them, there surely were sailors of the ship. At the very moment, Paul rose, and he proclaimed that God would save every person on the Alexandrian ship without fail, no matter how the storm was formidable. Faith is more needed in a day of despair with deadly storm blown than in a warm and shiny day. With confidence, Paul's faith was spread to those who were hopelessly waiting only for death. At the same time, the gut feeling of the crew members became sharp again, and they instinctively felt that they were getting closer to the land with hearing only the reverberation of the wind and wave in the middle of the night. They stood up like there were no one who lost hope to be saved from the beginning and measured the depth of the water twice. The water was dramatically getting shallow, which clearly showed that the land was near. It was the evidence that they could survive from the deadly storm. In such a midnight, they moored the ship using four anchors from the ship tail to avoid being struck on rocks, and waited there for the dawn, hoping for no more emergency. Eukomai, translated into wait or look forward, originally means to pray. Those who were waiting for the death suddenly prayed, looking forward to a new morning to be broken with hope. Such a touching moment, however, did not last long. Making sure they overcame the despair and could survive now, they changed their minds. Although it was clear that the land was somewhere near them, they could not figure out the distance to the land in the dark midnight. They had even no idea about the circumstances of the water around them. As the force of the storm did not completely die down, things could abruptly get worse overnight. Moreover, the number of passengers was 276 in total. If any accident like striking on a rock, for example, takes place, there would be no guarantee that all those people could safely get to the land. Then the only way to survive, for sure, for the sailors was to run away alone without having the others using the only lifeboat before dawn. According to the verse 30, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. The sailors were scrambling to reach the bow as if by appointment. Even though the Alexandrian ship was already moored with four anchors from the tail, they secretly lowered down the lifeboat, pretending to let some other anchors down from the bow, so as for the sailors alone to board the lifeboat. At the very moment, Paul rose again. On the ship, there were the ship owner, captain, and the centurion Julius. But they were no more the leaders on the ship. The only leader of the ship in such a midnight on the Sea of Mediterranean was the old and sick Paul, who had nothing in his hand. Paul read the minds of the sailors who were seeking to run away and watched every move that the sailors made. And he warned the centurion and soldiers as follows in verse 31. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." If the sailors who should have operated the ship had run away, the remaining people would have died helplessly on the huge ship of Alexandria. The verse 32 shows the consequence of Paul's warning. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. The soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and were already being lowered down to the sea. The plot to secretly run away, leaving the passengers alone, failed. The sailors were paid to take responsibility for the safety of the passengers and failed to run away by themselves. They could have bowed in shame for a while. Today, we like to pay attention to the expression, "cut the ropes and let it drift away." It seems enough to just say they cut the ropes to deliver the meaning. If the ropes from the ship were cut, no one would be able to get to the lifeboat. Today's scripture, however, testifies that the soldiers cut the ropes and let it drift away. This was not accidentally resulted from translation. In Greek original, it is recorded using all three different verbs. And it was to stress the meaning of the acts that soldiers cut the ropes. The Greek verb popto means to cut and stop. Another word, eao, means to abandon or take something off. If those three words are combined, the acts of soldiers who cut the ropes can come more in detail. One soldier grabbed the rope that was held to the Alexandrian ship. Then another soldier took his knife and cut the top of the rope. And at the same time, the soldier who was holding the rope threw it away into the sea. At the moment when the rope fell down to the sea, the only lifeboat was detached from the Alexandrian ship and drifted away. Anybody on the Alexandrian ship could never use the lifeboat. Those who were on the Alexandrian ship were not those who had smoothly sailed. They were those who struggled through the deadly storm and helplessly risked their lives without any food or water for 14 days. They gave up on their lives and were waiting for death just a minute ago, but were able to stay strong both mentally and physically thanks to the assertive announcement of Paul. They confirmed that they were getting closer to the land even in the dark midnight and moored their ship, praying for and looking forward to the next morning to be broken. They were to make sure they see the land near around and make a landing so as to completely get out of the hurricane force of the storm. Most importantly, at such a critical juncture, all of those 276 people on board should get rid of the selfishness of me first. Otherwise, it wasn't sure what kind of danger if the Alexandrian ship with 276 people on board would be put in. Nevertheless, the sailors who were even paid to take responsibility for the safety of passengers tried to secretly run away using the lifeboat. So the soldiers cut the ropes connected to the lifeboat and let the boat drift away. Those ropes were those of selfishness to be saved alone, those to be comfortable alone, and those to feel their selfish desires only. By cutting the ropes off, 276 people on board the Alexandrian ship ironically became a true community with the same goal. Today's scripture testifying such a fact helps us to realize what should be done first to keep our community safe. That is to cut off the ropes of selfishness, self-satisfaction, sinful desires, and let them drift away. To keep and protect the community, each member of it should become the person who can bear fruit of the Spirit. Even they are humble and have nothing to show, the community comprised with those who carry each other with the fruit of the Spirit is sound and strong like a rock and will not be broken down by any storm. On the contrary, no matter how high and noble social position the members might have, the community which lacks the fruit of the Spirit will, like those built on the sand, be destroyed even by light rain and wind. Without the fruit of the Spirit, there will be only the sinful nature, like those sailors who try to run away. Even if the sinful fruit looks great, it will soon get rotten. Solid house is made of steel frame and concrete. A community of people is sustained with the fruit of the Spirit. Through Galatians chapter 5, verses from 16 to 23, Paul testified and made comparison between the sinful nature and fruit of the Spirit as follows. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, which is contrary to the sinful nature, is categorized into 9 acts that are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then the Greek noun karpos, meaning fruit, must be in plural form to be grammatically correct. This is important. The fruit of the Spirit, as many misunderstand, does not mean 9 different fruits. It is true that the fruit that is born in the Spirit is one fruit, that one fruit can be shown in 9 different forms. One same fruit of the Spirit can be sometimes shown as love, sometimes in joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, sometimes gentleness, and sometimes self-control. As such, the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit that has 9 different shapes. What matters is the last shape of the fruit is self-control. Many times I have talked about self-control. The dictionary defines self-control as the ability to adjust or control your feelings not to be excessive. That is why a mother talks to her son who excessively drinks to control himself about drinking. By saying so, she doesn't mean to stop, but reduce the amount and frequency to drink. But the Greek noun of ankrateia, meaning self-control, does not mean to be modest by decreasing what is not to be done, but means to stop. Christians do not indicate those who make compromise with injustice, sometimes lie, have an affair, and spend working hours by filling in the time. Such members cannot sustain their communities. They rather break them up. In the lives of such people, the fruit of the Spirit that can sustain communities cannot grow. Think about it. In the lives of those who keep doing what should not be done, how come the fruit of love can be born? How does the love of a person who does not stop what needs to stop mean the same as joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness? Christians are those who completely stop what needs to be stopped. In such sense, biblical meaning of ankrateia is not just control, but stop and cut off. From today's scripture, it means to cut the ropes off. And threw it away. The love of those who make every effort to stop what should be stopped and cut it off becomes the fruit of the Spirit, which is the synonym for joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and thus communities with such members become solid. This is what happened to a member of our church recently. The son of the member participated to a contest held by the government. He made it to the semifinals and was offered a proposal from a person who was concerned with the contest. With a certain amount of money given to the judges, he could win the contest. Winning the contest was not just for fame or experience. If a male participant wins, he could be exempted from the military service. The member had no financial problem to pay the money that he was offered, but talked to her husband and rejected the offer. And she told her son as follows: "If you can win the competition on your own, it would be something to congratulate. But if you win the contest based on bribery and are exempted from the military service, even when you are underqualified, that's shame. If your first act obsequiously, then you will live the rest of your life that way. If you cannot win on your own, you should complete the military service like others." The son also agreed to his parents. How proud they are. I said thanks to them for the way they did and live. It is the gift and grace God gave me, more than I have earned, to live a faithful life with such great people. How many parents enjoy the national security based on the effort and devotion made by sons of others and pursue the exemption of the service? But these parents did not think twice, even with the offer, and turned it down. How such a decision could be made so easily? It was possible because they had lived life that way of self-control, which was not just a gesture of control, what should have been stopped, but stop and cut off. To express using today's scripture, they cut off the rope of selfishness and took it away. Otherwise, they would have not been able to do that. That is to say, their life of self-control became the fruit of the Spirit and was shown in the form of goodness and faithfulness when it was needed most. There are many families who live that way in our church. Every time I see such a family, I cannot stop praising God. In an age when the church became subject to criticism, we still can maintain the true church thanks to such families. The reason how our country could stay okay, even in the chaos and conflict, is because of such families. Then, like God protected Paul from the deadly storm, does he not take responsibility for such families, even from any kind of violent storm? Will he not use them as the pathway? For those families, would he not write a new Acts of today? Faith is not something to change a bit and compromise. That way, you only get the sinful fruit. Even if the sinful nature looks splendid and valuable, it'll soon break down. That is why those who pursue the sinful nature destroy our families and the society. Is it not true? Faith is to cut off what should not be done from our lives. Let all of us cut off the ropes of selfishness and let it drift away. Let us cut off the self-satisfaction as well and let it drift away. Let us cut off the desires in favor of your own benefits and drifted away. Not once, but every day in the Lord. Our self-control will become the fruit of the Spirit and will show sometimes in the shape of joy, sometimes peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and sometimes gentleness. The Lord, who rose again from death in 3 days, will use our homes and church communities and the nation as his preparators and martyrs to make them more sound and solid, won't he? Depending on what we are cutting away, our future will change. Our future is not on you, but on me right now. Let us pray. The sailors who were paid to protect the passengers had to cut off the ropes of selfishness to run away, leaving others there. They try to run away using the ropes and lifeboat, but had to be humiliated by the soldiers who cut off the ropes. Those who kept doing what should have been stopped for our society now became the subject to eradication of corruption. And the ropes that they treasure so much are now being cut off, removed, and abandoned by others. We thank you, God, that you allowed us to reflect on ourselves from them. We also thank you for reconfirming through today's scripture that faith should not be something to just slightly adjust or change what should have not been done, but it is to cut and never try again. Help us in God. Cut off the rope of selfishness, the rope of self-satisfaction, and the rope of sinful desires day by day. May such a life of us becomes the fruit of the Spirit so that the communities that we belong to become more sound and solid in truth through us. May we not forget that our future depends not on you, but on us right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.